Publications presents The Gnostic Bible, translated by Willis Barnstone and Marvin Meyer. Read by Willis Barnstone, Marvin Meyer, and Nancy Lesniewski.
The Gospel of Thomas, or the Gospel of Toma, is the opening text in this collection of sacred texts of knowledge and wisdom. Unlike the New Testament Gospels, which emphasize the cross and resurrection of Jesus, the Gospel of Thomas is a gospel of wisdom. The value of Jesus in the Gospel of Thomas lies in his wise sayings, which communicate life and salvation. According to this gospel, those who follow Jesus respond to his words and find the meaning of what Jesus says, discover true life. The Gospel of Thomas has traditionally been divided into 114 sayings. Here a selection of these sayings is presented. Within the sayings, the original forms of the Semitic names of characters are given. Thus, Yeshua is read for Jesus, Yehuda Toma for Judas Thomas, Shimon Kepha for Simon Peter, and Matthai for Matthew.
These are the hidden sayings that the living Yeshua spoke and Yehuda Toma the twin recorded. And he said, "Whoever discovers what these sayings mean will not taste death."
Yeshua says, "Seek and do not stop seeking until you find. When you find, you will be troubled. When you are troubled, you will marvel and rule over all."
Yeshua says, "If your leaders tell you, 'Look, the kingdom is in heaven,' then the birds of heaven will precede you. If they say to you, 'It's in the sea,' then the fish will precede you. But the kingdom is inside you, and it is outside you. When you know yourselves, then you will be known, and you will understand that you are children of the living Father. But if you do not know yourselves, then you dwell in poverty, and you are poverty."
Yeshua says, "A person old in days will not hesitate to ask a little child 7 days old about the place of life, and the person will live. For many of the first will be last and become a single one."
Yeshua says, "Know what is in front of your face, and what is hidden from you will be disclosed. There is nothing hidden that will not be revealed."
Yeshua says, "Do not lie and do not do what you hate. All things are disclosed before heaven. There is nothing hidden that will not be revealed, nothing covered that will remain undisclosed."
And he says, "People are like a wise fisherman who cast his net into the sea and drew it up from the sea full of little fish. Among the fish he found a fine large fish. He threw all the little fishes back into the sea and easily chose the large fish. Whoever has ears to hear should hear."
Yeshua says, "I have thrown fire upon the world, and look, I am watching till it blazes."
Yeshua says, "This heaven will pass away, and the one above it will pass away. The dead are not alive, and the living will not die. During the days when you ate what is dead, you made it alive. When you are in the light, what will you do? On the day when you were one, you became two. But when you become two, what will you do?"
Yeshua said to his students, "Compare me to something and tell me what I am like." Shimon Kepha said to him, "You are like a just messenger." Matthai said to him, "You are like a wise philosopher." Toma said to him, "Rabbi, my mouth is utterly unable to say what you are like." Yeshua said, "I am not your rabbi. Because you have drunk, you are intoxicated from the bubbling spring I tended."
Yeshua says to them, "If you fast, you will bring sin upon yourselves. And if you pray, you will be condemned. And if you give to charity, you will harm your spirits. When you go into any region and walk through the countryside, and people receive you, eat what they serve you, and heal the sick among them. What goes into your mouth will not defile you, but what comes out of your mouth will defile you.
Yeshua says, when you see one not born of woman, fall on your faces and worship. That is your Father.
Yeshua says, people may think I have come to impose peace upon the world. They do not know that I have come to impose conflicts upon the earth, fire, sword, war. For there will be five in a house. There will be three against two, and two against three, father against son, and son against father, and they will stand alone.
Yeshua says, I shall give you what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no hand has touched, what has not arisen in the human heart.
The students said to Yeshua, tell us how our end will be. Yeshua says, have you discovered the beginning and now are seeking the end? Where the beginning is, the end will be. Blessings on you who stand at the beginning. You will know the end and not taste death.
Yeshua says, blessings on you who came into being before coming into being. If you become my students and hear my sayings, these stones will serve you. For there are five trees in paradise for you, summer or winter. They do not change, and their leaves do not fall. Whoever knows them will not taste death.
The student said to Yeshua, tell us what the kingdom of heaven is like. He says to them, it is like a mustard seed, the tiniest of seeds. But when it falls on prepared soil, it produces a great plant and becomes a shelter for the birds of heaven.
Yeshua says, I shall choose you as one from 1,000 and as two from 10,000, and they will stand as a single one.
His students said, show us the place where you are. We must seek it. He says to them, whoever has ears should hear. There is light within a person of light, and it shines on the whole world. If it does not shine, it is dark.
Yeshua says, love your brother like your soul. Protect that person like the pupil of your eye.
Yeshua says, you see the speck in your brother's eye, but not the beam in your own eye. When you take the beam out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye.
Yeshua says, I took my stand in the midst of the world, and I appeared to them in flesh. I found them all drunk, yet none of them thirsty. My soul ached for the human children because they are blind in their hearts and do not see. They came into the world empty and seek to depart from the world empty. But now they are drunk. When they shake off their wine, they will repent.
Yeshua says, a prophet is not accepted in the hometown. A doctor does not heal those who know the doctor.
Yeshua says, a city built upon a high hill and fortified cannot fall, nor can it be hidden.
Yeshua says, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, nor in a hidden place. You put it on a stand so that all who come and go will see its light.
Yeshua says, if a blind person leads a blind person, both will fall into a hole.
His students said, when will you appear to us, and when shall we see you? Yeshua says, when you strip naked without being ashamed, and take your clothes and put them under your feet like small children and trample them, then you will see the child of the living one, and you will not be afraid.
Yeshua says, often you wanted to hear these sayings I am telling you, and you have no one else from whom to hear them. There will be days when you will seek me, and you will not find me."
Yeshua says, "If two make peace with each other in one house, they will tell the mountain, 'Move,' and the mountain will move."
Yeshua says, "Blessings on you who are alone and chosen, for you will find the kingdom. You have come from it and will return there again."
Yeshua says, "If they say to you, 'Where have you come from?' say to them, 'We have come from the light, from the place where the light came into being by itself, established itself, and appeared in their image.' If they say to you, 'Is it you?' say, 'We are its children and the chosen of the living Father.' If they ask you, 'What is the evidence of your Father in you?' say to them, 'It is motion and rest.'"
His students said to him, "When will the dead rest? When will the new world come?" He says to them, "What you look for has come, but you do not know it."
His students said to him, "Is circumcision useful or not?" He says to them, "If it were useful, fathers would produce their children already circumcised from their mothers. But the true circumcision in spirit is altogether valuable."
Yeshua says, "Blessings on you, the poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven."
Yeshua says, "Whoever has come to know the world has discovered a carcass. And whoever has discovered a carcass of that person, the world is not worthy."
Yeshua says, "Blessings on the person who has labored and found life."
Yeshua says, "Look to the living one as long as you live, or you may die and try to see the living one, and you will not be able to see."
Yeshua says, "Two will rest on a couch. One will die, one will live." Salome said, "Who are you? You have climbed on my couch and eaten from my table as if you are from someone." Yeshua said to her, "I am the one who comes from what is whole. I was given from the things of my Father." Salome said, "I am your student." Yeshua says, "I say, if you are whole, you will be filled with light. But if divided, you will be filled with darkness."
Yeshua says, "I disclose my mysteries to those who are worthy of my mysteries. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing."
Yeshua says, "One who knows all but lacks within is utterly lacking."
Yeshua says, "Blessings on you when you are hated and persecuted, and no place will be found wherever you are persecuted."
Yeshua says, "Blessings on you who have been persecuted in your hearts. Only you truly know the Father. Blessings on you who are hungry, that the stomach of someone else in want may be filled."
Yeshua says, "If you bring forth what is within you, what you have will save you. If you have nothing within you, what you do not have within you will kill you."
Yeshua says, "There are many standing at the door, but those who are alone will enter the wedding chamber."
Yeshua says, "The Father's kingdom is like a merchant who owned a supply of merchandise and found a pearl. The merchant was prudent. He sold his goods and bought the single pearl for himself. So with you, seek his treasure that is unfailing and enduring, where no moth comes to devour and no worm destroys."
Yeshua says, "I am the light over all things. I am all. From me all has come forth, and to me all has reached. Split a piece of wood, I am there. Lift up the stone, and you will find me there."
Yeshua says, "Whoever is near me is near fire, and whoever is far from me is far from the kingdom."
Yeshua says, You see images, but the light within them is hidden in the image of the Father's light. He will be disclosed, but his image is hidden by his light.
Yeshua says, when you see your likeness, you are happy. But when you see your images that came into being before you and that neither die nor become visible, how much you will bear.
Yeshua says, foxes have their dens and birds have their nests, but the human child has no place to lay his head and rest.
Yeshua says, how miserable is the body that depends on a body, and how miserable is the soul that depends on both.
Yeshua says, why do you wash the outside of the cup? Don't you understand that the one who made the inside also made the outside?
Yeshua says, come to me, for my yoke is easy and my mastery gentle, and you will find rest for yourselves.
They said to him, tell us who you are so that we may believe in you. He says to them, you examine the face of heaven and earth, but you have not come to know the one who is in your presence, and you do not know how to examine this moment.
Yeshua says, seek and you will find. In the past, I did not tell you the things about which you asked me. Now I am willing to tell you, but you do not seek them.
Yeshua says, one who seeks will find. For one who knocks, it will be opened.
Yeshua says, if you have money, do not lend it at interest, but give it to someone from whom you will not get it back.
Yeshua says, the Father's kingdom is like a woman who took a little yeast, hid it in dough, and made large loaves of bread. Whoever has ears should hear.
Yeshua says, the Father's kingdom is like a woman who was carrying a jar full of meal. While she was walking along a distant road, the handle of the jar broke and the meal spilled behind her along the road. She did not know it. She noticed no problem. When she reached her house, she put the jar down and found it empty.
The students said to him, your brothers and your mother are standing outside. He says to them, those here who do the will of my Father are my brothers and my mother. They will enter my Father's kingdom.
Those who do not hate their father and mother as I do cannot be my students. And those who do not love their father and mother as I do cannot be my students. For my mother gave me falsehood, but my true mother gave me life.
Yeshua says, whoever knows the father and the mother will be called the child of a whore.
Yeshua says, when you make two into one, you will become human children. When you say, mountain, move, the mountain will move.
Yeshua says, the kingdom is like a shepherd who had 100 sheep. One of them, the largest, went astray. He left the 99 and looked for the one until he found it. After so much trouble, he said to the sheep, I love you more than the 99.
Yeshua says, whoever drinks from my mouth will become like me. I myself shall become that person, and the hidden things will be revealed to that one.
Yeshua says, you who have found the world and become wealthy, renounce the world.
Yeshua says, the heavens and the earth will roll up in your presence, and you who live from the living one will not seek death. Doesn't Yeshua say this? Whoever has found oneself of that person, the world is not worthy.
His students said to him, when will the kingdom come? Yeshua says, it will not come because you are watching for it. No one will announce, look, here it is, or look, there it is. The Father's kingdom is spread out upon the earth, and people do not see it. The Gospel of Mary, or the Gospel of Miriam, is a wisdom gospel written in the name of Mary of Magdala, or Mary Magdalene, a beloved disciple and student of Jesus. According to the Gospel of Mary, Mary is the one closest to Jesus among the students, and she is the one who understands his mind and message. She encourages the other students when they are in despair. "Jesus will be with us," Mary proclaims to them, "for he has humanized us by making us truly human within." Peter and Andrew question the authority of Mary as a female teacher of revelatory wisdom, but their protests do not carry the day in the Gospel of Mary. The Gospel of Mary is poorly preserved, and several pages of text are missing at the beginning and in the middle of the document. The original forms of the Semitic and Greek names of characters are used, and Miriam is read for Mary, Shimon Kepha for Simon Peter, and Andreas for Andrew.
The Savior addresses the students. After telling his tale, the Blessed One welcomed all of them and said, "Peace be with you, and receive my peace. Take care that no one sends you into wrong, saying, 'Look here, look there.' The human child is in you. Follow the child. If you look, you will find it. Go preach the message of good news about the kingdom. Don't look for any rules other than what I give you. Establish no law as lawgivers have done, or by those laws each one of you will be bound." After saying these words, he went away. Miriam consoles the students, and Kepha challenges Miriam. The students broke down in despair and cried deeply and said, "How can we go out to the Gentiles and preach the message of good news about the kingdom of the human child? If they didn't spare him, how possibly can we be spared?" Miriam stood up and greeted each of them, responding to her brothers, "Don't cry or break down in despair or doubt. His grace will go with you and protect you. And let us praise the greatness of his work, for he prepared us, made us truly human." When Miriam said this, she turned their hearts to the good, and so they began to look into the Savior's words. Then Shimon Kepha said to Miriam, "Sister, we know the Savior loved you more than any other woman. Tell us what the Savior told you, his words as you remember them. Only you know them, but we do not, because we never heard them." Miriam answered, "What is hidden from you I shall reveal to you." She began to tell his words, saying, "I saw the Master in a vision. I said, 'Master, today I saw you in a vision.' He answered and told me, 'Blessings on you, since you didn't tremble when you saw me. Where mind is, the treasure is.' I asked him, 'Master, how does one contemplate a vision, with soul or spirit?' He answered me, saying, 'One sees neither with soul nor with the spirit. The mind, which is between the two, sees a vision.'" Miriam recounts her vision of the soul's ascent. Desire said, "I didn't see you coming down, but now I see you rising. Tell me why you're lying, since you belong to me." The soul responded, "I saw you, but you didn't see me or know me, and for you I was nothing more than a garment. You couldn't know who I was." After the soul said this, she left intensely happy. The soul approached the third power, called ignorance. The power questioned the soul, saying, "Where are you going? You are bound by evil. You are bound, so do not judge me." The soul said, "Why do you judge me? I haven't judged you. I was roped up, but I have not bound ropes on others. Though I wasn't recognized, I've understood that all will be dissolved, both what is earthly and what is heavenly." When the soul overcame the third power, she rose and saw the fourth power. It took seven forms. The first form is darkness, the second, desire, the third, ignorance, the fourth, death wish, the fifth, fleshly kingdom, the sixth, foolish fleshly wisdom, the seventh, wisdom of the angry. These are the seven powers of wrath. The powers ask the soul, "Where are you coming from, you who murder mortals? And where are you going, you who destroy realms?" The soul answered, saying, "What binds me is slain, and what surrounds me destroyed. My desire is gone. Ignorance is dead. In a world, I was freed through another world. In an image, I was freed through a heavenly image. The fetter of oblivion is temporary. Now on, I'll rest through time of age in silence. Shimon Kifa and Andreas doubt Miriam's word. When Miriam had said this, she grew silent, for the Savior had told her this much. Andreas answered, saying to the brothers, "Say what you will about what she said. I still don't think the Savior said this. These teachings are very strange ideas." Shimon Kifa expressed similar concerns. He asked the others about the Savior. Did he actually speak with a woman in private without our knowledge? Should we all now turn and listen to her? Did he prefer her to us? Levi speaks on behalf of Miriam. Then Miriam cried and said to Kifa, "My brother Kifa, tell me what you think. Do you think that I made this up myself, or that I am telling lies about the Savior?" Levi answered and said to Kifa, "Kifa, you are always angry. Now I see you arguing against this woman like an enemy. If the Savior made her worthy, who are you to turn her away? Certainly the Savior knows her well. That is why he's loved her more than we are loved. We should be all ashamed and don perfect humanity and assume it as he commanded us, and preach good news and never to invent a rule or law other than what the Savior has spelled out." When Levi said this, they began to leave to teach and preach.
The Gospel of Judas, or the Gospel of Yehuda, that is, the Gospel of Judas Iscariot, is a text that has been known by title from the comments of the heresy hunter Irenaeus of Lyon, but has been made available only recently. The Gospel of Judas communicates a series of conversations between Jesus and his students, and particularly Judas Iscariot. Within the text, Judas is the only one of the students who understands who Jesus actually is. And he refers to Jesus in terms familiar from Gnostic, and especially Sethian Gnostic sources, as coming from the exalted realm of Barbelo, that is, in a name of apparent Hebrew derivation, from the realm of the highest manifestation of divinity, perhaps God in the holy four-letter name Yahweh. Jesus, as a revealer of wisdom, proceeds to provide for Judas a series of insights into the nature of the divine and the character of the universe. And the emergence of the cosmos is recounted in brilliant detail from the great invisible spirit above and the angelic emanations of light to the gloomy powers of the world of mortality below, named with the Aramaic names Nebro, Yaldabaoth, and Sakla. In the end, Jesus says that he has told Judas everything, and that Judas will hand over to the authorities the mortal body Jesus has been using. That is precisely what Judas does at the end of the Gospel. The Gospel of Judas has been reassembled from papyrus fragments, but gaps remain in the manuscript. A few of the most fragmentary sections of the text are omitted from the reading. The Semitic name Yeshua is read for Jesus and Yehuda for Judas, and several times Rabbi is read for Master. Adamas refers to Adam above, the ideal heavenly human. The word Amen is retained in the familiar authoritative formula of Jesus, "Amen, I say to you."
Secret revelation. Here is the secret revelation Yeshua had with Yehuda Iscariot in 1 week, 3 days before the celebration of the Pasach. Yeshua tells of mysteries beyond this world. When Yeshua came to live upon the earth, he did dynamic miracles and wonders for the salvation of the peopled world. While some walked on the goodly ways of justice, others ambled about in their transgressions, and so he called for 12 students to help. He spoke to them about the mysteries beyond the world and what would happen when upon them came the end. Frequently, he would not come as himself before his students, but mingled among them, they would find a child. Yeshua astonishes his students. One day in Yehuda, he went to his students. He found them sitting all together as they all were practicing their piety. When he came near, they offered a prayer of thanks over the bread. He laughed. The students said, "Rabbi, why do you laugh at us for giving thanks? Are we in error?" He answered, saying to them, "I don't laugh at you. You are acting not of your own will, but so that through these things your God will know your offerings of praise." They said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of our own God." And Yeshua told them, "How do you know me? Amen, I say to you, no generation of the people who walk among you will know who I am." Angry students. When the students had listened to all this, they broke into anger and fury. They began to execrate him in their hearts. When Yeshua noticed their deep ignorance and interior weakness, he asked them, "Why has this agitation led you to fury? The God who operates inside you spurs the anger in your souls. Let any one of you endowed with strength among beings on earth evoke the perfect human and stand near so that I can see him face to face." They all replied to him, "We have that strength." Here, these earthly beings didn't dare to stand before him, but for Yehuda Iscariot, he was able to stand before him, but he couldn't look him in the eyes and turned his face down and away. Yehuda said, "I know who you are and where you come from. You are from the deathless realm or aeon of Barbello, the holy source of all. And my mouth is unworthy to utter the ineffable name of him who sent you." Yeshua speaks to Yehuda privately of his fate. When Yeshua saw Yehuda brooding on what is exalted, he motioned to him, "Come here, and I shall tell you mysteries of the kingdom. Not that you can go there, but you will deeply grieve, for someone will replace you to complete the circle of the 12 before their God." Yehuda said to him, "When will you give me these secrets, and when will the great day of light dawn on the generation?" But when he said this, Yeshua left him. Yeshua tells his students of earthly and eternal generations. Early the next morning, Yeshua came again before his students, and they said to him, "Rabbi, after you left us, where did you go and what did you do?" Yeshua told them, "I went to a holy and great realm of another generation." His students asked him, "Rabbi, what is the great generation that lies above us and is holier than us, that doesn't glitter in our world?" When Yeshua heard this, he laughed and said to them, "Why are you thinking in your hearts about the strong and holy generation? Amen, I tell you, no one born into this aeon will catch sight of that generation, and no army of angels from the stars will have dominion over that generation, and no person of mortal birth can join it, through which you rule." When his students heard this, each of them sank, spirit in turmoil, and couldn't say a word. And on another day, Yeshua came up to be among them, and they said to him, "Rabbi, we've seen you in a night vision, in great dreams last night." He answered, "Why have you fled into hiding?" The students envision the temple. They said, "We've seen a giant house. It has a great altar inside. There are the 12 men. We think that they are priests. There is a name, and crowds of people are waiting at the altar till the priests receive the offerings. We were there too. Yeshua said, "And what are these priests like?" They answered, "Some fast for 2 weeks, some sacrifice their children, others wives, all under ruses of humility or praise. Some sleep with men, and others murder, and some perform a multitude of sins and lawless acts. And yet these men before the altar constantly invoke your name, and in their own deeds of sacrifice they fill the altar with offerings." After their speech, they became still and troubled. Yeshua speaks about the temple and sacrifices at the altar. Yeshua said to them, "Why are you troubled? Amen, I say to you, all the priests standing before the altar proclaim my name. Again I tell you, my name has been set down in writing in the generations of the stars." Yeshua told them, "That is the God you serve, and you are those 12 men you also saw. Cattle you saw brought in for sacrifice mirror the many people you lead astray before that same altar. A baker cannot feed all of creation under the heavens." When the students heard this, they said to him, "Master, help us, save us." Yeshua said to them, "Stop struggling with me. Each of you has a star assigned to you and everyone." Yehuda asked him, "Rabbi, what kind of fruit does this generation yield?" Yeshua replied, "The souls of each generation will die. However, when these people end the time within the kingdom and the spirit leaves them, their bodies die, but their souls will stay alive, and they will be risen above." Yehuda asked, "And what will all the other human generations do?" Yeshua said, "It is impossible to sow seed upon rock and harvest fruit." Yehuda's vision. Yehuda said, "Rabbi, as you have heard all the others, hear me. I've had a vision." When Yeshua heard this, he broke into laughter and said to him, "You who are the 13th daemon, why do you try so hard? But speak to me, and I shall be here to hear you." Yehuda told him, "In the vision I saw myself and the 12 students stoning me and persecuting me most grievously. I also came to the place where you were. I saw a house of such cosmic dimension that my eyes could not perceive the scope. Great people surrounded it, and that house had a single room, and in the middle of the house was a crowd. I was saying, 'Rabbi, take me in along with all these people.' Yeshua answered, saying, 'Yehuda, your star led you astray, and further, no person of mortal birth is worthy to go into the house that you have seen. It's for the holy, solely for them. Nor sun nor moon will have dominion there, nor day, and yet the holy will live there forever in the eternal realm with holy angels. Look, I have revealed to you the mysteries of the kingdom, and I have taught you about the era of the stars." Yehuda asks what will happen to him. Yehuda asked him, "Rabbi, could my seed, my heritage, fall under the control of the archons who are rulers of this world?" Yeshua answered, telling him, "Come here. You know deepest sorrow when you see the kingdom and all of its generation." When he heard this, Yehuda said to him, "What good to me is what I have received? For you have kept me separated from that generation." Yeshua answered him, saying, "You will become the 13th, and you will be cursed by other generations. In the end, you will rule over them. In the last days, they will to you, that you may not rise up to the holy generation." Cosmology of the Spirit. Yeshua said, "Come here so I can teach you what no person has ever seen. For there exists a great and boundless realm whose horizons not even a generation of angels has looked upon. And therein is the great invisible spirit, which no eye of an angel has ever seen, no thought of the heart has ever comprehended. And it was never called by any name. And a luminous cloud of light appeared. The Spirit said, 'Let an angel come into being, and he will become my attendant.'" A great angel, the enlightened divine self-generated, emerged from the cloud. "Let Adamas come into being," and Adamas emerged into being. And he created the first luminary to reign over him. Adamas and luminaries. Adamas was in the first luminous cloud that no angel has ever seen among all those who are called God. His image was after the image and after the likeness of the angel. He made the incorruptible generation of Seth appear to the 12 luminaries, 24 of them. He made 72 luminaries appear. Then the 72 luminaries made 360 luminaries appear in the incorruptible generation, in accordance with the Spirit's will, that their number might be 5 for each, and made a great army of angels beyond number for glory and adoration, and also virgin spirits for glory and adoration of all aeons, heavens, and their firmaments. Cosmos, chaos, and underworld. The worldly multitude of those immortals is called the cosmos, corruption inviting decay, made by the Father and the 72 luminaries who are with the self-generated and his 72 aeons. In the cosmos, there appeared the first human with his incorruptible powers, and the aeon who appeared with his generation, the aeon in whom are the cloud of knowledge and the angel, is called El. "Let 12 angels come into being to govern chaos and the underworld. And look, from the cloud came an angel. His face flashed with fire. His countenance was defiled with blood, and his name was Nebro, meaning rebel. Others call him Yaldabaoth. Another angel, Sakla, also came from the cloud. So Nebro made 6 angels with Sakla to be his assistants. And each of these produced 12 angels in the heavens, each one possessing a section of the sky. Rulers and angels of the underworld. The 12 rulers spoke with the 12 angels. The first is Seth, who was called the Christ. The second is Hamathoth. The third is Galila. The fourth is Yobel. The fifth is Adonaios. They are the 5 ruling the underworld, and first of all, they are over chaos. creation of people on the earth. Then Sakla said to his angels, "Let us make a human being after the likeness and after the image." They fashioned Adam and his wife Eve, who in the cloud is known as Zoe, which means life. And by this name all generations seek the man, and each of them calls woman by their own names. The ruler said to Adam, "You shall live for a time with your children." Yehuda asks about Adam's destiny. Yehuda said to Yeshua, "What good is human life?" Yeshua said, "Why do you ponder these things? Adam and his generation has lived his span of life where he received his kingdom." Yehuda said to Yeshua, "So what will those generations do?" Yeshua said, "Amen, I say to you, for all of them the stars bring events to their consummation." When Sakla completes the span of life assigned him, their first star will sparkle with generations, and they will finish what it is said they do. They will fornicate in my name. They will slay their children, and your star will rule over the 13th aeon. At this, Yeshua laughed. Yehuda said, "Rabbi, why are you laughing at us?" Yeshua answered, saying, "I don't laugh at you, but at the error of the stars, because these six stars are wandering about with these five combatants, and they will all be destroyed along with their creatures." Yeshua said to Yehuda, "But you will surpass all of them, for you will sacrifice the man who bears me. Already your horn is raised, your anger is on fire, your star has passed by, and your heart has grown strong. Amen, I say to you, your last days grieve." The ruler will be destroyed, and then the image of the great generation of Adam will be exalted. Before there was heaven, earth, and angels, that generation coming from the eternal realms exists. And look, you have been told everything that is. Raise your eyes and look at the cloud and at the light within it and the stars surrounding it. The star that leads the way is your star. Yehuda raised his eyes and saw the luminous cloud, and he entered into it. Those standing on the ground heard a voice coming from the cloud. Yehuda will hand Yeshua over. Their high priest murmured because he had gone into the guest room to pray. Yet some of the scribes were there, watching keenly and carefully in order to arrest him while at prayer. They were afraid of the Jews who esteemed him as a prophet. They came near Yehuda and said to him, "What are you doing here? You are Yeshua's student." He answered them just as they wished. And Yehuda received some money, and then he proceeded to hand him over to them.
The secret book of John, or the secret book of Yohanan, also sometimes referred to as the Apocryphon of John, is a classic work of Sethian Gnostic mythology. This text presents an account of the creation, fall, and salvation of the world and the people within the world. And the account features the figure of Sophia, personified wisdom in the role of the wisdom of God who comes from above and whose divine light is trapped within people of gnosis in the world. The secret book of John explains the contrast between an all-transcendent one and an absurd and fallen world by means of an intricate mythological account of a God who emanates, creates, falls, and finally is saved. The portion of the secret book of John that is presented here is taken from the opening section of the text. In this selection, Yohanan is read for John and Yaakov for James. As in the Gospel of Judas, Barbelo is the name of the holy source of all. A number of distinctive names are given for the rulers and powers of this world, including Yaldabaoth, Sakla, and Samael for the first ruler of the world below.
The teaching of the Savior and the revelation of the mysteries and the things hidden in silence, things he taught his student Yohanan. The Revealer appears to Yohanan. One day, when Yohanan, the brother of Yaakov, the sons of Zavdai, went up to the temple, it happened that a Pharisee named Adamanios came up to him and said to him, "Where is your teacher, whom you followed?" I said to him, "He has returned to the place from which he came." The Pharisee said to me, "This Nazarene has deceived you badly, filled your ears with lies, closed your minds, and turned you from the traditions of your parents." When I, Yohanan, heard this, I turned away from the temple and went to a mountainous and barren place. I was distressed within, and I said, "How was the Savior selected? Why was he sent into the world by his Father? Who is his Father who sent him? To what kind of eternal realm shall we go? And what was he saying when he told us, 'This eternal realm to which you will go is modeled after the incorruptible realm'? But he did not teach us what kind of realm that one is." At the moment I was thinking about this, look, the heavens opened, all creation under heaven lit up, and the world shook. I was afraid, and look, I saw within the light someone standing by me. As I was staring, it seemed to be an elderly person. Again, it changed its appearance to be a youth. Not that there were several figures before me. Rather, there was a figure with several forms within the light. These forms appeared through each other, and the figure had three forms. The figure said to me, "Yohanan, Yohanan, why are you doubting? Why are you afraid? Are you not familiar with this figure? Then do not be faint-hearted. I am with you always. I am the Father, I am the Mother, I am the Child. I am the incorruptible and the undefiled one. Now I have come to teach you what is, what was, and what is to come, that you may understand what is invisible and what is visible, and to teach you about the unshakable race of perfect humankind. So now, lift up your head that you may understand the things I shall tell you today, and that you may relate them to your spiritual friends who are from the unshakable race of perfect humankind." The One. I asked if I might understand this, and it said to me, "The One is a sovereign that has nothing over it. It is God and Father of all, the invisible One that is over all, that is incorruptible, that is pure light at which no eye can gaze. The One is the invisible Spirit. We should not think of it as a God or like a God, for it is greater than a God, because it has nothing over it and no Lord above it. It does not exist within anything inferior to it, since everything exists within it alone. It is eternal, since it does not need anything, for it is absolutely complete. It has never lacked anything in order to be completed by it. Rather, it is always absolutely complete in light. The One is illimitable, since there is nothing before it to limit it, unfathomable, since there is nothing before it to fathom it, immeasurable, since there was nothing before it to measure it, invisible, since nothing has seen it, eternal, since it exists eternally, unutterable, since nothing could comprehend it to utter it, unnameable, since there is nothing before it to give it a name. The One is the immeasurable light. Such a one beholds itself in its light." Barbelo appears. Now, this Father is the One who beholds himself in the light surrounding him, which is the spring of living water, and provides all the realms. He reflects on his image everywhere, sees it in the spring of the Spirit, and becomes enamored of his luminous water, for his image is in the spring of pure luminous water surrounding him. The Father's thought became a reality. and she who appeared in the presence of the Father in shining light came forth. She is the first power who preceded everything and came forth from the Father's mind as the forethought of all. Her light shines like the Father's light. She, the perfect power, is the image of the perfect and invisible Virgin Spirit. She, the first power, the glory of Barbello, the perfect glory among the realms, the glory of Revelation. She glorified and praised the Virgin Spirit, for because of the Spirit she had come forth. She is the first thought, the image of the Spirit. She became the universal womb, for she precedes everything, the Mother Father, the first human, the Holy Spirit, the triple male, the triple power, the androgynous one with three names, the eternal realm among the invisible beings, the first to come forth. Barbello asked the invisible Virgin Spirit to give her foreknowledge, and the Spirit consented. When the Spirit consented, foreknowledge appeared and stood by forethought. This is the one who came from the thought of the invisible Virgin Spirit. Barbello conceives. The Father gazed into Barbello with the pure light surrounding the invisible Spirit and its radiance. Barbello conceived from it, and it produced a spark of light similar to the blessed light, but not as great. This was the only child of the Mother Father that had come forth, its only offspring, the only child of the Father, the pure light. The invisible Virgin Spirit rejoiced over the light that was produced, that came forth first from the first. Who is the wisdom of insight and who constitutes an eternal realm, conceived of a thought from herself with the conception of the invisible Spirit and foreknowledge. She wanted to bring forth something like herself without the consent of the Spirit, who had not given approval, without her partner and without his consideration. The male did not give approval. She did not find her partner, and she considered this without the Spirit's consent and without the knowledge of her partner. Nonetheless, she gave birth, and because of the invincible power within her, her thought was not an idle thought. Something came out of her that was imperfect and different in appearance from her, for she had produced it without her partner. It did not resemble its mother and was misshapen. When Sophia saw what her desire had produced, it changed into the figure of a snake with the face of a lion. Its eyes were like flashing bolts of lightning. She cast it away from her, outside that realm, so that none of the immortals would see it. She had produced it ignorantly. She surrounded it with a bright cloud.
Thank you. his wicked and his mindlessness that's in heaven. He said, God be bound, and there is no other God but me, so he did not know where he should have come from. The angels created 7 powers for themselves, and the powers created 6 angels of peace, and so there were 365 angels. These are the names of corresponding angels. The first is Gabriel, and has the face of a sheep. The second is Elias, and has the face of a donkey. The third is Christophilus, and has the face of a hyena. The fourth is Yael, and has the face of a snake with 7 heads. The fifth is Sabaoth, and has the face of a snake. The sixth is Adonim, and has the face of an ape. The seventh is Sabaoth, and has the face of flaming fire. This is the sevenfold nature of the week. When he saw creation surrounding him and the throng of angels around him who had come forth from him, he said to them, I am a jealous God, and there is no other God beside me. But by announcing this, he suggested to the angels with him that there is another God. For if there were no other God, of whom would he be jealous? Sophia repents. Then the mother began to move around. She realized that she was lacking something when the brightness of her light diminished. She grew dim because her partner had not collaborated with her. The arrogant one took power from his mother. He was ignorant, for he thought no one existed except his mother alone. When he saw the throng of angels he had created, he exalted himself over them. When the mother realized that the trappings of darkness had come into being imperfectly, she understood that her partner had not collaborated with her. She repented with many tears. The whole realm of fullness heard her prayer of repentance and offered praise on her behalf to the invisible virgin spirit, and the spirit consented. When the invisible spirit consented, the Holy Spirit poured upon her some of the fullness of all. For her partner did not come to her on his own, but he came to her through the realm of fullness, so that he might restore what she lacked. She was taken up not to her own eternal realm, but to a position above her son. She was to remain in the 9th heaven until she restored what was lacking in herself. The human appears. A voice called from the exalted heavenly realm. The human exists, and the human child. The first ruler, Yaldabaoth, heard the voice and thought it had come from his mother. He did not realize its source. The holy, perfect mother-father, the first human who appeared in human shape. The entire realm of the first ruler quaked, and the foundations of the abyss shook. The bottom of the waters above the material world was lighted by this image that had appeared. When the authorities and the first ruler stared, they saw the shape of the image in the water. The creation of Adam. Yaldabaoth said to the authorities with him, Come, let us create a human being after the image of God and with a likeness to ourselves, so that this human image may give us light.
Thunder, or Thunder Perfect Mind, is a sacred poem of paradox and antithesis. Gnostic themes such as liberation from the material world, a pantheistic deity that permeates matter and life, and the promise of salvation or return inform the poem, and some scholars consider these themes to echo a Sethian Gnostic perspective. The speaker of the poetic lines of Thunder is female, and while there are diverse views of her identity, she may be compared with Sophia, the personified wisdom of God, revealing herself commonly with paradoxical I am statements to all who will hear.
I was dispatched from the power, and have come to you who study me, and am found by you who seek me. Look at me, you who study me, and you who hear, pay attention to me. You waiting for me, take me to yourselves. Don't banish me from your sight. Don't let hatred enter your voice against me, nor let anger enter your hearing. In no place, in no time, be unknowing of me. Be alert. Don't be ignorant of me. I am the first and last. I am the honored and scorned. I am the whore and holy. I am the wife and virgin. I am the mother and daughter. I am the members of my mother. I am a barren one with many sons. I have had a splendid wedding and have not embraced a husband. I am a midwife and do not give birth. I am the solace of my birth pains. I am bride and groom, and my husband engendered me. I am the mother of my father and sister of my husband, and he is my offspring. I am the servant of him who fashioned me. I am the ruler of my offspring. He produced me prematurely, and he is my offspring born on time, and from him is my strength. I am the staff of his power in his youth, and he the rod of my advanced years, and whatever he wants happens to me. I am silence incomprehensible, and insight with fine memory. I am the voice whose sounds are many, and the word whose appearances are multiple. I am the utterance of my name. Why do you who hate me love me, and hate those who love me? You who deny me confess me, and you who confess me deny me. You who tell the truth about me lie about me, and you who lie tell the truth. You who know me be ignorant of me, and those who have not known me, let them know me. For I am knowledge and ignorance. I am shy and bold. I am shameless. I am ashamed. I am strength. I am fear. I am war and peace. Listen to what I say. I am disgraced and grand. Note my poverty and wealth. Don't be arrogant toward me when I am cast down on the ground, and you will find me in those who are to come. If you see me lying on a dung heap, don't run away and leave me there. In the kingdoms you will find me. If you see me when I am cast with the disgraced in the most filthy places, don't laugh at me. Don't discard me with those in need. I am compassionate, I cruel. Be careful. Don't hate my obedience, but love my self-control. When I am weak, don't forsake me. Don't fear my power. Why do you despise my fear and curse my pride? I am a woman present in every fear, and I am strength in agitation. I am a woman weak, and I am carefree in a pleasant place. I am senseless, I am wise. Why have you hated me in your counsels? Because I will be silent among the silent and appear and speak? Greeks, why do you hate me? Because I am a barbarian among the barbarians? For I am the wisdom of Greeks and knowledge of barbarians. I am the judgment of Greeks and barbarians. My image is great in Egypt, and I have no image among the barbarians. I am hated everywhere and loved everywhere. I am called life, and you have called me death. I am called law, and you have called me lawless. I am one you pursued, and I am one you seized. I am one you scattered, and you gathered me together. I am one before whom you are ashamed, and to me you are shameless. I am a woman who attends no festival, and I am she whose festivals are many. I am godless, and I have many a god. I am one you confessed, and you scorn me. I am unlettered, and you learn from me. I am one you despise, and you confess me. I am one you hide from, and you appear to me. When you hide, I show. When you appear, I hide. As for those who have behaved foolishly, take me from their understanding, from grief, and accept me from understanding and grief. Receive me from what is lowly in creation, and take from the good, even though in lowliness. Out of shame, take me to yourselves shamelessly. Without shame and with shame, put to shame what is mine in you. Come to me, you who know me, and you who know my members, and make great ones among small first creatures. Come to childhood, and don't despise it because it is small and tiny. Don't make the great turn piece by piece from the small, for the small is known from the great. Why do you curse and honor me? You wound me and have mercy. Don't separate me from the first you have known. Don't cast out or turn away. Turn away and do not know what is mine. I know the first ones, and those after them know me. I am perfect mind and rest. I am the knowledge of my quest, the discovery of those who look for me, the command of those who ask of me, the power of powers, through my knowledge of angels sent at my word, of gods among gods sent by my counsel, of spirits of all who dwell with me, of women who dwell within me. I am honored, praised, and scornfully despised. I am peace, and war has come because of me. I am alien and citizen. I am substance and a woman of no substance. Those connected to me are ignorant of me, and those one with my being know me. Those close to me are ignorant of me, and those far away have known me. On the day I am close to you, you are far away, and on the day I am far away, I am close to you. I am the heart's lamp. I am of nature's. I am of the creation of spirits, the request of souls. I am control and uncontrollable. I am union and dissolution. I abide and dissolve. I am descent and people come up to me. I am judgment and acquittal. I am sinless and the root of sin comes from me. I am desire outwardly, yet within me is control. I am hearing for all, and my speech cannot be grasped. I am an unspeaking mute, and enormous in my many words. Hear me in gentleness, and learn from me in roughness. I am the woman crying out, and I am cast upon the face of the earth. I prepare bread and my mind within. I am knowledge of my name. I am the one who cries out, and I listen. I appear, walk in, utterance, refutation. I am judge, I am defense. I am called justice, but my name is violence. You, the vanquishing, honor me, and you, the vanquished, whisper against me. Judge before you are judged, because in you the judge and partiality exist. If you are condemned by one, who will acquit you? If acquitted by one, who will arrest you? What is in you is outside, and one who fashions you on the outside shapes you inside. What you see outside, you see within you. It is visible and your garment. Hear me, listeners, and learn my words, you who know me. I am the hearing all can reach. I am speech that cannot be grasped. I am the name of the sound and the sound of the name. I am the sign of the letter and the designation of the division. I, light and shadow. Hear me, listeners. Take me to yourselves. As the Lord, the great power, lives, the one who stands will not change the name. The one who stands created me. I will speak his name. Look at the words of this one and all the writings completed. Be alert, hearers and angels and those sent, and you spirits arisen from the dead. I alone exist and have no one to judge me. many pleasures exist in many sins. Uncontrolled passions and disgraceful desires and fleeting pleasures embraced by people until they sober up and float up to their place of rest. There they will find me and live, and they will not die again.